I want to start this morning with a story I'm not sure many of you have probably heard. It was in my archive file, you might say. I just ran across it, and it really gave me the idea for this sermon. There was a young Jewish man. His name was Jenez Russ. He was a young shoemaker, and he lived in Nazi Germany. Well, when all the Nazism started, he went into hiding. He hid in his sister's abandoned house. Never showed himself, not once. Didn't even come out to go to his mother's funeral. He was terrified. He was discovered by his sister that owned this farmhouse as she was back in town, and she was bringing him some bread to see how he was. This was in 1967. 22 years after he had gone into hiding. And he was so happy that she found him. The reporters talked to him later. He said, through all these years, I basically did nothing. He said, I would sneak out in the cover of darkness to get food. I'd never go out during the day. He said, I would hear laughter and happiness. He said, I would sit and I would cry. Because you see this fear of death had such a hold on this man that he lost 22 years of his life. It robbed him of years of his life. You know, death is the ultimate defeat, isn't it? When you think about it. We do so much anymore. So much. Everything that we possibly can to prolong life. What do we get? Maybe a year or two, the most, if we're lucky. But life's precious to us. We don't even like to talk about death, do we? We don't even like to mention it. We avoid that topic with everything that we have. But you know what? Jesus didn't. He didn't avoid that topic. We're going to be looking at a very familiar story this morning. It's the story of Lazarus. It's found in John chapter 11. And that's where we're going to begin reading this morning. Now we know that Lazarus was terminally ill. Let's pick up the story here in verse 1. John chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. So Martha, her sister, and Lazarus were very, very dear to Jesus. But it says when he found out that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 days longer. Why? This was the Jesus that they had seen heal so many people. Why wouldn't he just rush to Lazarus' side and heal this man? Well, could he have been afraid? Because if we read down a little bit farther, we see that all those in Judea, they wanted to kill him, didn't they? Could he have been afraid? Or could he have stayed 2 days longer because he loved them? Well, when we get down here to verse 9, we find out Jesus was not afraid. Not even a little. Let's read verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." You know, if we walk around, most of us, I've had some trouble this morning, but if we walk around in the light, we don't usually stumble, do we? But what happens in the darkness? Just the other night, I got up, it must have been 3-4 o'clock in the morning, the bedroom's pitch black, to let the dogs out. Well, I kind of know my way around, but I walk over and then all of a sudden, wham, I forgot the bedroom door was closed. But I didn't see it, because I was stumbling around in darkness. How many people do we see in this world stumbling around every day because their life's nothing but darkness? But you see, Jesus is walking in the light, isn't he? He is on a mission from God. He's not afraid. He didn't have any reason to cower, to hide. Because he's got God on his side. Let's continue reading now in verse 11. Then he said, "And after that," he said to them, "our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." Huh. So Lazarus fell asleep. We see the disciples here took that quite literally, didn't they? They said, "Well, he's asleep. That's a good thing, because you know when you're sick, you sleep and you sleep it off and then you feel better when you wake up, right?" Wrong. See, Jesus was teaching us something here. To Jesus, death just like sleep. To us, death is just like sleep. When your eyes close in death, you're asleep. Lazarus was dead. Let's read verse 15. Kind of shocking words here from Jesus. He says, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Jesus was glad he wasn't there? But if he was there, he could have healed him, couldn't he? Mm-mm-mm. Well, now we get to Thomas. Good old Thomas. Was Thomas afraid? No. But did he have an attitude problem? Yes, he did. Thomas said, well, if Lazarus is dead, we might as well go on and die with him. See, he was courageous in the face of death. But he had a defeatist attitude, didn't he? He wasn't triumphant in his attitude. And let's continue reading here in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Your brother will rise again, Jesus says. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into this world. When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is coming here and is calling for you. And when she heard this, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What's interesting here? What did Martha believe about death? She believed in the resurrection of the dead, didn't she? She knew that Lazarus would rise again on that last day. Well, guess what? What did Jesus just show us? That he is that resurrection. He showed us what will happen in the future. That he is the resurrection. And he also showed us that he is the life. You know what that means? It means we better start acting like it right now. That's what it means. You know, Martha and Mary, they're here thinking, they're almost inconsolable. I said, Jesus, if you would have just been here, he wouldn't have died. You could have saved him. But now, Lazarus is dead. That's it, isn't it? He's dead. There's nothing that can be done now, is there? Well, let's see. Let's continue reading here in verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying?" So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." What's he saying? Whoo, don't open that up. Mm-mm. He's been dead for 4 days. It's going to start smelling. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it." So with a loud voice, he cries out, "Lazarus, come forth!" The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus is passionate about life, isn't he? You know, I really misunderstood this verse. Verse 33 and verse 38. For a long time. And I went and looked back at the Greek. And that phrase there, deeply moved. Because we get the idea here that Jesus has moved to tears of sorrow, don't we? You know, he looks around and he sees all these people crying. Literally, they're wailing. You know, we don't see that much in our culture anymore, do we? But they were literally wailing, crying unconsolably, letting their grief out. It says Jesus is deeply moved in his spirit. That phrase there is from the Greek word embria amami. The original meaning of this is to snort like a horse. It also means a phrase that expresses indignation, even anger. So, Jesus is deeply moved in indignation. These tears he have are tears of anger. They're not tears of sorrow. He's moved with indignation to the pit of his being. He's angry. You know the words here for Jesus wept? His weeping here is not wailing. Simply means to shed tears. These are tears of indignation. What could cause this reaction from Jesus? Could it be he looks around and he sees the lack of faith of the people all around him? Or maybe, just maybe, he sees firsthand the work of his enemy. Do you know who that enemy is? Death. His enemy is death. Death has wreaked havoc on this world, hadn't it? It has. You know, it doesn't bring happiness. It brings sorrow. It doesn't bring joy. It brings despondency. It doesn't bring triumph. It brings defeat. Death is the ultimate defeat. For all of our human ingenuity, all of our brilliant scientists, we can't escape death, can we? Every single one of us in this room, if the Lord tarries, will die. Every single one of us. And we worry. We think, all that I've accomplished here is just going to be forgotten. You know, we even try to sanitize death nowadays, don't we? How many of you in the last 5 years have known someone that died in their home? I don't see any hands. One. Who takes over that process now? Hospitals? Hospice takes over that? Even the mortician takes care of it. You know? We want death removed from our lives as much as we possibly can, don't we? Because it scares us. We don't like it. We don't want to think about it. And then we end up using the euphemisms, oh, so-and-so passed away. Because that sounds better than they died. Try to tone down that offensiveness. And we build beautiful coffins, don't we? Look at the cemeteries. They're lush gardens. It's not really a place of death, so to say. Usually has gorgeous landscaping, neatly kept. No matter how much we try to tone it down, death still comes, doesn't it? Nothing we can do to avoid it. So what do? We put up pretty memorials, don't we? Because we don't want somebody to forget us. We don't want to be forgotten. We want to live on in the memories of people. I have a question for you. Is death what God intended? No. It's not what God intended for this world. Death didn't exist until the sins of our great, 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 great grandfather and grandmother, Adam and Eve. Through their sin, death was brought into this world. You know, we say, well, death is a normal part of life. Is it? Our God's not a God of death, is He? He's a God of life. And here we see Jesus. He's walking around these tombs. Sees people crying. Sees them defeated in despair. at the mercy of the enemy. Death. And Jesus is indignant. He is angry to the core of his being. This is not the world his Father intended. And he's mad. And he's upset. Death is not normal. Jesus loathes death. So he comes to this tomb. And he squares off face to face with death. He is going to rip Lazarus out of the clutches of death. And this wasn't just for Lazarus. This was for the benefit of all those people that are standing around watching. They will see with their own eyes that this man is indeed the Son of the living God. And he is the resurrection. He's going to show that he can grant life. He raises his head up and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, what's the scene now? Imagine for just a second in your minds, of if you're one of those people standing around there. This man has been dead for 4 days in this tomb. And all of a sudden, here he comes. He's bound. Probably he can't walk. He's probably got to hop out like this. He can't see where he's going because he's got a burial cloth over his face. Imagine if you were one of the onlookers on that day. Jesus says, "Unbind him. Let him go. He's alive. He's going to walk around. He's going to see. He's living again. He's free from the tomb." Jesus just showed us that he is the resurrection and the life. Even though there's nothing that we can humanly do to escape death, Jesus has the power and the authority over death. You see, that's why he is coming again. We read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, the resurrection chapters. That is why Jesus is coming to this earth again. When that trumpet sounds and he comes, just like Lazarus, he's going to call us from our graves. Or if we're still alive, we're going to be changed. But it's going to be different this time. You see, Lazarus died again. Jesus is bringing with him a different kind of life. Eternal life. He's defeated death. You know, when we know these things, how should we respond? How should we respond? Well, There's only one way that we can. We have to respond in faith. You know, no one can remain neutral in Christ. Either you believe Him and believe in Him, or you don't. There's no middle ground there. You either accept Him or you don't. If you do, you have life. You have life more abundantly. You know, as we read on down through John 11, we see two examples here of the reaction to Jesus. Some believed in Him, but there's great risk involved in that. See, they were trying to kill Him. And not just Him, anyone that was associated with Him. Then you have the Pharisees, the chief priests. They were worried about losing their nation to the Romans. You know, a Messiah or a king, well, that kind of sounds a little bit like a rebellion, doesn't it? Ooh, we can't have that. Because see, if we can't keep order as the rulers, they're going to exile us. They're going to kick us out. They may even crush our country just to make an example out of us. Then you get to Caiaphas. He wanted to kill Jesus. Even if he couldn't do it justly, it didn't matter, did it? He just wanted to be rid of Him. He probably thought, you know, well, it's better to kill one man to save this whole nation, just to sacrifice this one man. You know what the irony of that is? Jesus would die, but not in the way that Caiaphas had intended. Rome would come and take away their place, and they would crush Israel. Even though they had put this troublemaker to death. You know, that's part of God's plan. That was part of God's plan, that He would use their rebellion for their salvation. See, they were more concerned about status quo. They had been begging and pleading and praying to God to send the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, the Christ. And they knew that, well, if this is Him, we really should follow Him. They were more worried about persecution and the backlash of that. So they said, let's just get rid of that Jesus. What kept them from faith? It was fear. Fear kept them from faith. I'll give you a little illustration now. Two men had been out in the woods. They came across a grizzly bear. And the man said, "Don't move. Just look that bear in the eye. I read a book that said that if you just look them in the eye and you don't run, that they won't attack you." Well, the other man said, "Well, I've read that book, and you've read that book, but has the bear read that book?" See, they wanted to run, didn't they? you were staring down a huge grizzly bear, would you want to run? If they did, they would have been killed. You know, there was a study, as I was preparing this sermon, found a study. His name was Earl Fleming. He was an Alaska state biologist. He did a study, which is really the only study that's ever been published, on brown bears, grizzly bears. 81 times he encountered grizzly bear in the wild. He didn't shoot. He didn't run. He stared it down and stood his ground. Some of the bears charged him. Did a mock charge. But what, he stood his ground 81 times. And not one of those bears attacked him. See, Jesus, he's defeated the bear. He's defeated the bear for us. You know, never, ever let fear keep you from living a life of faith. Later on in our story, Jesus would say, "My time has come." And he walked boldly and courageously down that road to the cross. He wants us to have that same courage. Because through him, death no longer has its power over us. I want to ask you. We know that Lazarus died again one day. Do you think this changed his life any? Do you think he was a different man now? After he had been ripped from the clutches of death by Jesus. Do you think he was a different man? Do you think he had different priorities? And more importantly, do you think he feared death anymore? That threat of death still hung over his head, didn't it? But he had nothing to fear. Because when we get into John chapter 12, we read about Lazarus. See, he was sitting out in the open. He was feasting. He was celebrating. No indication at all that he was cowering away. We don't need to cower either. Because we have nothing, nothing to fear. No one can take away that life that Jesus has promised us when he returns. Even though they may kill us now, we'll sleep for a while. To us, it'll be an instant. And we will hear that trumpet sound. And our eyes will open. And we will see our Lord coming in the air. That's the promise we have. You know, we don't need to live in fear. Share your faith. Share the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know that cross right there? It was a symbol of death, wasn't it? What is it now? It's a symbol of life. Life everlasting. Jesus confronted death head on. He wants us to confront it with the gospel, the good news that He is coming again. And even if we die, we will be raised on that last day. Praise God that His Son defeated death for us. Amen.